Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a drive into right center. That's a base hit. Over to pick it up is Bader sliding. Castellanos going for two. The throw to second. Not in time. Another double. Castellanos with a one-out double. And the Cubs have a man in scoring position with one away. Double number 58 for Nicholas Castellanos.
What follows is a complete list of Major League Baseball players to hit at least 58 doubles in a season since the year 1937. You ready? Here's your list. Nicholas Castellanos, Todd Helton. End of list. That's it. 1931, the record is set by Earl Webb with 67. Joe Ducky Medwick in 1936. I believe he won the Triple Crown in 1936. I believe Joe Ducky Medwick is still the last National Leaguer to win the Triple Crown. It has happened in the American League a couple of times, a few times since then. Hank Greenberg in 1934. Paul Wehner. I think it's Paul Wehner. It might be Lloyd Wehner. One of the poisons. One of the little poisons or the big poisons. Charlie Gehringer in 1936. Tris Speaker in 1923. Chuck Klein in 1930. And then Todd Helton and Nick Castellanos. Yeah, all I had was last names there. So that's why I don't know whether it's Lloyd or Paul off the top of my head. But Nick Castellanos is a doubles machine. Love that dude. Just retweeted something from Kevin Youkilis, who talks about all these uppercut swingers. And Yuke is a guy who does not believe that that's the only way to do it. Here's the quote from Kevin Youkilis. I'm not going to directly call some of these coaches out by name, but this focus on dropping the back shoulder and developing major uppercut swings is producing one-dimensional hitters. There are major holes that will get exploited at the higher levels. Hashtag be a well-rounded hitter. You tell him, Yuke. Drop by that Cubs clubhouse and mention some of this stuff, would you? Thank you, Kevin. Youkilis was a really good hitter. Could do a lot of things, a lot of different kinds of things. I bet he loves watching Castellanos. How do you not? I mean, Castellanos is he's a gap hitter. He's a line drive hitter. He's a down-the-line hitter. It's just really, really good at doing that kind of thing. And now at 58 doubles, he's going to get to 60. It's a hit and run on 670, the score. Let's take a call, and then I'll get to what I mentioned I was going to get to, which is the major difference between the Cubs and the Cardinals. And it occurred in the middle part of this most recent decade, if you ask me. But first, this is Bob in West Edgewater on the score. Hello,
hey.
Bob. How are you?
All right. I would say $217 million, and you might not make the playoffs, but one-third of the teams make the playoffs. That's everybody. Everybody has said, including you, is right. I mean, I would say blow the team up. Keep the guys you got to keep because of their contracts. You know, keep the corner, infielders. Keep Castellanos, move him to left field. Great player. I tell you, I used to fear him when he would come up against the White Sox, because I'm a White Sox fan.
Mm-hmm.
But this, you could say this is worse than 69, except for this team is not as good as the 69 team.
Yeah, 2016 was better than the 69 team. Remember that time they won the World Series? It's all nuanced there, Bob. I hear you. I understand the frustration. Peter in Lamont wants to say that the Cubs are like what, Peter? What are they like?
No, I don't know what they're like, but here's the deal with Kimbrel. Everyone knows he's throwing a fastball. It's almost like he was doing his Lee Smith, the Steve Garvey impersonation. It was absolutely unbelievable. But here's the thing. Pedro Strop has cost the Cubs 11 games. That's the season right there. Madden, he's the anti-Dusty Baker. Let these starting pitchers pitch, taking Wills out in the fifth inning because it was two outs and he just walked the guy. He's been doing that all year, and it's absolutely insane. The Cubs are like the 86 Bears, who should have been in the Super Bowl in 87 and 88. We should have been in the World Series in 17 and 18. Let's go like the New England Patriots, get rid of Bryant, keep some guys, and keep bringing in the new guys.
Thank you, Peter, for the call. If they never win another title, it will go down in similar fashion to the 85 Bears. Will feel similar. It already has felt that way to a lot of folks. The window is not yet done. Baseball is a different thing, a different sport, different kind of build, and different kind of potential outcomes. The Cubs, the Bears never won another one. Because they never really were great at quarterback. I mean, Jimmy Mack was good, but not great. The Cubs need more. It's a lot harder, in my opinion, to build a winning baseball team than it is a winning football team with consistency. There's a lot more factors that go on in there. Let me tell you, here's how a window gets derailed, okay? Here's how a window gets derailed. Or at least gets damaged. Let me say that, how it gets damaged. In 2015, the Cubs had definitively passed the Cardinals by. They beat them in a playoff series, went on to win the division the next year and the year after that. They had passed them by. It was clear. Finished ahead of them last year, too. But little did we know that right then, in 2015, when that was happening, we were in the middle of a five-year span in terms of the Major League Baseball draft that would impact things heavily over the course of the rest of the decade. Because as we look at the draft for the years 2013 through 2017, right? You end up looking at a lot of players from the Cardinals who've ended up with that team, who have ended up with the Cardinals right now. And there's several guys who've been useful between 2013 and 2017, okay? For the Cubs, you know who's been useful. Chris Bryant, number one pick in 2013. Kyle Schwarber, number one pick in 2014. James Norwood, a seventh round pick in 2014. Mark Zagunas, a third round pick in 2014. Dylan Cease, a sixth round pick in 2014. He ends up part of the Quintana deal. Zach Godley, a fifth round pick for the Cubs in 2013. He ends up being a very useful starter for the Diamondbacks. Ian Happ, a first-round pick in 2015. All right, that's it from the batch. That means on this roster right now, you've got four guys. Bryant, Schwarber, Happ, and Norwood. Norwood is the pitcher from 2014. You've got four guys on this roster right now. Two on other teams, total of six. For the Cardinals in those drafts, you ready? 2017, there's nobody yet. So we'll spot him that. 2016, Dakota Hudson, their first rounder. Stalwart in the rotation. Tommy Edmond, a sixth rounder. Big time help for them over the last 2 months. Playing third, playing all over the place. Andrew Kinzer, backup catcher on the roster. Helpful. Zach Gallen, who they ended up trading as part of the package to go to Miami for Marcell Ozuna. So useful, Zach Gallen. Very useful. He's on his third organization. He's looking like a good MLB pitcher. 2015, Harrison Bader, a third-round pick, starting center fielder. Paul DeJong, a fourth-round pick, starting shortstop. Hit the second of those two homers yesterday. Ryan Helsley pitched well in relief for them on Friday, a fifth-round pick. Jordan Hicks, who was their closer this year before blowing out his elbow. That's 2015. 2014, first rounder, Jack Flaherty, absolute stud. One of the best pitchers in baseball in the second half of the year. First rounder for the Cardinals. Luke Weaver, another first-round pitcher, was traded for Paul Goldschmidt. Big part of the Paul Goldschmidt trade. So that's useful. Daniel Ponce de Leon, a bullpen piece. 2013, Marco Gonzalez, a first-rounder MLB pitcher in Seattle, had a nice year for them this year. Oscar Mercado, traded to Cleveland. He's a big part of what they do in the outfield. Luke Voit, now a Yankee, of course, but they got Giovanni Gallegos, who's been their setup man for Voit. That is nine players drafted between 2013 and 2016 alone that are on this Cardinals team, and five on other teams. That's 14 total. And the five on other teams brought back guys like Ozuna, Goldschmidt, Gallegos, and Tyler O'Neill is who they got in the Gonzalez trade. That, my friends, is a massive, massive difference. The Cardinals know how to draft. They always have, and they still do. The Cubs have not restocked their own team with those guys. Some of those Cardinals picks that I mentioned are absolute studs and stars. Some of those Cardinals picks are merely useful pieces of a good team, like Tommy Edman. Some of them have ended up as trade pieces. Whatever it is, you've given yourself assets that way, and you've been able to use them. The Cubs have had to go chase bullpen pitchers. They've had to go chase positional depth. Have had to go chase and trade and pay for all the things that they don't have that the Cardinals have drafted and had cheaply. It's a massive, massive domino effect, let alone the effect of these guys' very presence on the rosters as they play right now. Cards are better at drafting. Big, big, big deal. And that's why Jason McLeod moved over to the Major League Club, and you will see big changes in scouting and development in the coming year. 670, the score is where you are. Matt Spiegel is who you're with. Right now, let's give away to caller 6 at the contest line, 312-591-6700, a pair of suite tickets to Monster Jam on Saturday, September 28th for the 7 p.m. show at the Allstate Arena. 312-591-6700. We'll check into the ballpark when we come back on Hit and Run right here on 670, the score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back in on 670 The Score. It is me, Matt Spiegel, here with you on Hit and Run. Let's check in over at Wrigley Field as we approach, Cubs pregame at about 12:45 or so with our man Zach Zaman leading up to Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer and one more at Wrigley this year. I don't know if there'll be playoff games there this year or not. Cubs of late not playing like a team, frankly, that deserves to get there. It's been an awkward final homestand here, especially the last three, as we bring in our friend Mark Gonzalez from the Chicago Tribune right now on the score. Hello, Gonzo. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm all right, man. So, you know, these first three of this series, as they have this is not the brand of baseball that fans dreamed of seeing, but is it indicative of what this team has shown you for much of the year?
I think so. I think that's fair. I mean, regardless of who's closing games, that's been an issue. You could point to health or the fact that Kimball didn't have a natural spring training. The bottom line is they didn't get it done, and I'm not just picking on the bullpen, but you start from the beginning of the season. They lost a lot of one-run games. It just seemed like things weren't in sync. You know, the starting pitching would have a speed bump, then it'd get it going, and then you'd have an injury or two or guys weren't pitching deep. And then the offense where you saw some guys have some good individual seasons, but the lack of clutch hitting, you know, reared its ugly head, especially in these last four losses. So it's almost been like the perfect storm, but you know, they had a chance to take care of business, and they didn't do it for the second year in a row against the Brewers. And then I think that there was maybe some false sense of security that they were going to take care of business, and the against the Cardinals based on the fact the Cardinals hadn't won in six games here, and the Cardinals find a way to steal three wins. So this is where you're at right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. The false sense of security is something I hadn't really thought about. Like they the past couple of months knowing, oh, we got 7 out of 10 at the end of the year, like we'll still get a chance to do it. That little bit of complacency, even that kind of feels emblematic of the past few years, doesn't it?
Massive. I don't think it's a little. I think it's massive. And, you know, I advocated last offseason that they break things up a little bit. You know, Theo even said, you know, performance over talent. They didn't do it. They hitched their horses to this post, and this is what they got. Disappointing season. And I got to say disappointing because the standards are high here, and rightfully so. And fact is, they're not going to get it done again.
So if that complacency, what do you do to combat that? They've done everything else. I mean, they've done everything short of managerial change. They've changed the coaches. They've changed the habits around. They haven't, you know, made a big change in terms of players within the core. So the two things they haven't done are change the manager and trade a player of high value and consequence in trying to shake things up. Do you suspect we'll see both of those things?
Well, let me run this by you. How many pitching coaches, how many hitting coaches they had the last 3 years, and what has happened?
Yeah, three hitting coaches and three pitching coaches.
And where are you at right now?
Same place.
So whose fault is it?
You go higher, right?
Thank you. I mean, it's saying, well, you also go to the guys you're working with, and some of them, you know, Theo said it before, you know, every player has a different, ascend. And some guys have plateaued, some guys have stagnated. So, therefore, you got to address the issues and proceed accordingly. Now, on the flip side, they're going to say, you're not going to get, you know, what you think the guy's worth. Well, sometimes you got to cut your losses, or sometimes you got to rely heavily on your scouts to find that guy who maybe can scratch the surface here rather than where he's playing at right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I detailed in the last segment, Gonzo, the drafting failures, especially between 2013 and 2017, as opposed to the Cardinals, who just drafted one after another, guys who are useful either here or as trade pieces, and the Cubs have not. So they're going to address that, right? I mean, the move of Jason McLeod is the beginning of addressing that. We'll see some hires, I would assume, in scouting and development.
Yes, I think so, and I think there's been some movement and player development in terms of changing some instructors down there. At least one pitching coach has been let go down there. I don't know what level it is, but there's got to be a change, because whatever's been going on the last few years hasn't been working, as you addressed with the draft.
Yeah, you know, when Jed Hoyer said that they've been too conservative in drafting pitching, and I don't know what that means, whether that means they have not gone for guys who have great stuff but are scary. I'm not sure exactly what that means. Do you?
Yeah, I do. And Jason alluded to it earlier this season about having a guy that had to check off all these boxes. Sometimes you might go for that one guy who's got a really, really good tool and forget the fact that he's maybe 5'11 or so. And I think they addressed that with Ryan Jensen, their first-round pick out of Fresno State, who really ascended and might be a guy that helps him down the road rather than, you know, settle on a guy with the perfect mechanics and everything else that goes with it. Maybe tops out at 91, 92. I think they're shying away from that. And that's a step in the right direction. But let's face it, the Cardinals are loaded with young pitchers, just absolutely loaded. And this is something this organization has lacked, that quality major league ready pitching depth. So this is just one area where they got to improve.
I know you spoke with Ben Zobrist, and Ben talked about a lot of stuff before the game today. I had been thinking that this September return was a nice opportunity for him to put a bow on his career on his terms, as opposed to having to deal with everything he had to deal with over the past 3.5-4 months. But it sounds like he might not be done.
Yeah, that's the kind of the indication we are given from him now. Unfortunately, in baseball, there seems to be this unwritten rule where guys, if they reach a certain age, where it's 34, 35, they're phased out, even though they have more in the tank, because teams opt to go with younger, cheaper players. I still think there's plenty in the tank for Ben if you use them right, the way Joe did in the last month. And I think not only that, but he can really help young players grow as players. You know, I think some of these guys actually watched Ben and see how he approached the bats, and they benefited from it. I think Ben Zobrist adds a lot to a team, not just when he's in the batter's box or playing second base.
Yeah, so you think that'll be here, or is it hard to imagine him here?
I think it's hard to imagine him here unless he, you know, unless Joe's back, and we can all debate about that right now. But he has to be used right, and then you look at it and say, well, how many games is he going to give you? Can he play more than just second base? We all know about versatility in baseball. So it's got to be the perfect spot for him. So that's going to be the issue.
All right. So yeah. I mean, you mentioned Joe. If it is the end, and it is set up to not be a firing. If it is the end, it's set up for a peaceful, fond, conscious uncoupling, if you will, Gwyneth. It's set up to be that way if they want to do it. There's the Padres job just opened up. There's a bunch of good ones out there. I don't know if Joe will have his pick if that indeed is what happens.
He's going to be mentioned in quite a few places. I thought that Philadelphia, if they make a change, there would be a nice landing spot for him. You know, he could sell tickets there. He's managed egos before. He could be okay there. I think he thrives on managing in the East. He did it with the Rays and going up against the bullies like the Yankees and Red Sox. And there you'd be going up against the likes of the Nationals and Braves. And so there's a nice opportunity if it opens up there for him. But yeah, I think he's going to have he's going to be mentioned, but you got to find the right fit too. And maybe the guy who's calling the shots doesn't think he's the guy. There's a lot of balls in play on this.
Mm. But do you think the conscious uncoupling is where we're headed, Mark? Gonzo, is your gut?
Yeah. I'm just curious to see what happens if this happens and how Joe's kid responds and making a comeback on Twitter.
You know, it's this bullpen, what he's been handed has been very incomplete and very weird, and he's had to be perfect to make it work. And he has not been perfect. Most managers are not. But it's just what he's been handed is very difficult. And it's like, seldom am I the guy to say, well, that was Kimbrel's spot and that was his job. But you know what? I can't fault Joe for not going to Rowan Wick yesterday. He's got a healthy $43 million Hall of Fame closer. That's his job yesterday, right?
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of what Bochy went through in San Francisco in 2016, especially in game four of that series against the Cubs, where everything Bruce did backfired and exploded. And just, I think Joe's going through the same thing this season with that. And, you know, you just can't. Judge a guy based on what he's had to work with in that regard. I know, yeah, he's made his share of mistakes. We all know that, but on the whole, it's just been a cross your fingers type situation, especially with the lack of power arms he had to work with at the start of the season. Now, guys like Rowan Wick have ascended very well, but for the most part, they've had to rely a lot on guys pitching the contact and hitting the ball on the ground.
Yeah, yesterday with Kimbrel, I didn't think the first pitch was a bad pitch. Really, it is 97. It's up above the zone, but Molina knows what to do and just pop that one up into the wind, doesn't he?
Yeah, that one. I mean, it was. I give him a lot of credit because, I watched the replay again this morning and I thought, man, he had to know something because that pitch was close to unhittable, but at least the way. You know, you're looking for him to go down, and he goes high, and poof, he hit it out. I give Molina a lot of credit for that one.
Yeah, did they know something? I mean, but then the second one is almost the same exact spot, except a little bit lower. So that's not good. But it's center cut. It's center cut fastball.
Yeah, exactly, and you pay the price there. You know, the funny thing is now with baseball, you know, guys are using all quadrants of the strike zone, so a lot of guys now are using that high part of the strike zone to their advantage, but Molina just did a great job of locating it and turning on it.
What do we think about Kimbrel's future? It's so difficult to figure out what is his decay, what is the lack of spring training and the 3-month delay. I mean, I have no idea whether to be able to figure out whether he's going to return to some kind of form next year, because this is brutal with the homers.
Yeah, it's quite the mystery, and the fact that, you know, he's still throwing a few ticks above league average, but everybody's throwing hard now. So, and he's got the curve, but it just seemed like his command's been lost since joining this team, and then you factor in the two bouts on the IL, injuries, and you have the perfect storm here. But the home runs have been very alarming, especially for the lack of innings pitched. So, they're going to spin it by saying, oh, he didn't have a natural season because, he didn't sign until June 5th or whatever it was. But this is a big offseason for him and for the Cubs because they need to get some mileage out of him. There's nothing worse than not being a contender and having an expensive closer. They need him to go back to his all-star form so they can win games. Because, you look at the losses in Pittsburgh and Philly, and then, yesterday, those are big swing games. And if you win those, then, hey, you're still in contention.
Hey, if there's home playoff games, then these guys will get a chance again. But if not, farewell to Gary Pressey today, which has gotten a lot of press, and we talked to him yesterday, 33 years. But I didn't realize Bruce Miles is stepping away. Is a full retirement or a semi-retirement? I mean, that's one of the greats at what you do, Mark. Bruce is a terrific guy.
Yeah, he's a terrific guy. I've been lucky to know him for more than 25 years. He sits next to me, puts up with me at home games. And he's just been a great friend since he joined the Cubs beat. And I was covering the Giants back when the Dead Sea was sick. And just a great resource, great father, great husband. He's going to be sorely missed around baseball. This guy's always respected him for his professionalism and just his friendliness. But, good for Bruce. He earned it. And now he can go watch his daughter swim at family, where she does a great job.
That's awesome. All right. Well, good for Bruce Miles of the Daily Herald. Wonderful guy. Gonzo, so are you. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. You got it. It's Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune. The bottom of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field this fall when the Wildcats, led by Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald, host Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota in Big Ten play. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. And this segment is brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. I am not embarrassed for having 1 week ago been slapped with one final dose of baseball optimism. It got to me. The length of the season, the fact that the game is built on hope, the fact that the Cubs were fortunate enough to have 7 games with the Cardinals left and have their own destiny, their own fate in their own hands. They had one final stretch to show up at their best and get it done. And it is a massive disappointment to a lot of people that they have not. It's a very, very difficult game. There's a lot of bad luck that went on yesterday as well. I mentioned the Molina home run on a very good pitch. 12% was the hit probability of that one when it came off the bat, according to MLB StatCast. But it got up in the wind and just went and went and went. And that's Wrigley in the wind, baby. That's what it is. There were other plays. Luck went their way as well. The balk call against Gallegos, followed by the Tony Kemp pinch hit home run. It's been a lot of weird bounces, and a lot of them have gone against the Cubs, but they've also exposed themselves over time as simply not good enough. Disappointing. The window's not over. Hell, the season's not over. 3 games back with 7 to go. I don't think so. But, maybe. We'll see. Yu Darvish goes today. Every game is game 7. They have, 8 games 7 left? Actually, 7 games 7 left to go. Thank you to Chris Dickens for hopping on the board over this last 40 minutes or so. Thank you to Zach Withers for doing a great job. Thank you to my guests, Mark Gonzalez from the Trib, Mike Farron from MLB Network Radio. Bernie Williams was on the show in the 11 o'clock hour. And Chris Kampka with Camp Connections. Been an absolute pleasure. I'm at MattSpiegel670 if you want to find me on the Twitters. And elsewhere. Have a great day, everybody. Cubs baseball is coming up next with my man Zach Zabeman right here on 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.